Welcome to Beyond Leading, the podcast that cuts through the noise to get real about leadership, team dynamics, personal growth, and the messy, brilliant reality of work, life, and everything in between. Each episode brings grounded insights, sharp truths, and honest conversations with experienced leaders and coaches as we explore what it really takes to lead well today. We don't deal in one-size-fits-all answers. We spark ideas, offer grounded perspectives, and create space for you to work out what fits your world. So let's get into it. Okay, welcome to our next podcast, which is all about resolving procrastination. And Nick and Tiffany, who are with me, I want to set the scene, give you a bit of background and example, and then tell me what you think. So it's suggested that procrastination is less about laziness and more about avoiding discomfort linked to a task, e.g. fear of failure, perfectionism. It's not hardwired and can be addressed systematically. Research by the University of Sheffield links procrastination to short-term mood repair rather than laziness. Procrastinators prioritize tasks that feel good in the moment over what's important longer term. An example of this, a marketing manager delays starting a report because they feel unsure about the strategy. Reframing the task as an opportunity to learn reduces avoidance. What do you think?
I would totally agree with that. I think procrastination has got nothing to do with laziness. Procrastination has got everything to do with assumptions of what the task is going to be. It's going to be long, it's going to be boring, it's going to be complicated. It's the assumptions that we attach to the task. And I think that people tend to, it's very often people who like to-do lists that procrastinate because they've got a long to-do list and they get that kind of dopamine hit by ticking things off. So, you know, they'll write the short email or they'll make the phone call or they'll connect with so-and-so because it's quick, it's easy, and it's done. Longer things, not so rewarding in the immediate term. So I think that could be something linked to procrastination.
I quite like the thought that procrastination is not about laziness. And I find that actually when I procrastinate, it's because of a perceived thing. I'll give you an example if you're looking for another example, and that is tax return every year. I dread it. I know the deadline looms, and I used to put it off until the last moment. I have literally been, you know, 11 o'clock on the night of the deadline and filling my tax return in online and submitting it. But then I did wise up to it, and I realized that a lot of my dread was, what am I going to be asked to produce to complete the tax return? So I started to keep better records in a better order as I went along. And the tax return never actually took that long, but it was that kind of fear of being asked something I couldn't answer and therefore not being able to complete. Now the tax return gets done very simply, very easily, and it's because I learned a lesson. Mm-hmm.
I'm smiling because my main area of procrastination used to be paying bills. And the reason for that was I simply didn't like to see the money going out of my account. It was very simple. But the thing is, it's like these things have to be paid. So not everything can be put on a direct debit. Some things you actually have to go and pay. And so I started using the 5-4-3-2-1 method, which is literally counting down from five. Count down, don't count up, because you can keep going. You 5-4-3-2-1 and you just do it. I call it the Nike method.
That's the Mel Robbins trick then, yeah.
But yeah, yes, exactly. And you just do it. And you, and now the money goes out, but it's a little less painful.
So is this all about, to a degree, motivation then? Because if I'm not motivated to do something, or I think, and you're talking about tax returns, Nick, because I have that, you know, we'll have to do that every year. And you just think, this is not what I enjoy doing. This is not what I want to do. You don't see it as part of your daily job. But actually, as a business owner, it is important to do our tax returns. And it's maybe getting maybe understanding what does motivate us, but also looking at the bigger picture to think, is there any job out there that we can be motivated by every task we have to do? Because I would suggest no.
I think for me, procrastination is not necessarily about us putting off the things we will do. I think procrastination is about putting off the things that need to be done. It doesn't have to be us that does them. So, for example, your tax return, you can get an accountant to do that for you. Mm. It's kind of giving the tax return information, giving the authorization to the accountant to do it. We put that off as well. So procrastination kind of is a collection of non-actions, I guess, if I could put it that way, that result in us either missing a deadline or being so late on the deadline that we bring stress into it.
And it's interesting that you bring up stress there, Nick, because when we procrastinate, it's generally around something that effectively has to be done. It has to be done by a certain time, okay? Because otherwise you don't procrastinate, you just don't do it. Hmm. So the fact that we're putting off the inevitable, we're actually creating stress for us, for ourselves, in the short term, all the way up until the task is actually done. And how are we creating stress? We know that we have to do these things and we feel guilty because we're not doing them. And we spend the time that we're not doing them thinking about how we should be doing them and creating this sort of vicious circle for ourselves all the way up until the time that we actually do them. And then we think, well, that wasn't so bad and I was an idiot for spending so much time worrying about doing it in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that not the dilemma that some of us need stress to actually go and do something? It's part of our, you could call it like the resilience chart, that some of us actually need stress to be better at what we do. We can't live without the stress. But then how do we understand what is the right level of stress for us that doesn't impact our health?
Is it resilience or is it addiction? Because we can rely on stress as a kind of a motivator to force us to do things, whereas we can de-stress a situation by being a bit more measured, a bit more planned, but there's not much excitement about that, is there?
Okay, is it a motivator as an addiction? Or is it identity? Because so many people go, oh, I work better under stress, okay? And the fact of the matter is that is fundamentally untrue, because stress causes cortisol and adrenaline to be released. And in order to release those two hormones, our body actually breaks down its own cells, mm-hmm. which is why if we live in that constant state of stress, we actually physically start to feel ill. We feel unwell. So having stress and using that as a motivator can work in certain situations. However, if we're taking the example of the tax returns, this is something that comes up every single year. Using stress as a motivator doesn't work, obviously, because there were times when Nick was doing it at the very last minute. That stress that we're creating is the stress of not doing it, or is the situation of not doing it that's creating the stress. It's not actually the task itself that's creating the stress. It's the fact that we're not doing it that creates the stress.
Exactly.
But is that linking to being uncomfortable? Because it suggested there is an approach called active procrastination, which I actually probably do more because I don't like to start a task immediately without getting the chance to sit back and think about it. If I give you an example, say someone had an idea on a Monday and said to me, Alec, what about doing X, Y, and Z? My first reaction might be, oh, that's really exciting. Oh, I like the sound of that. Let's do it. But then I find I've had to train myself to do this, never make an instant decision, right? Never say yes to that idea immediately. Give it a few days and actually let your brain think about, well, is that the best idea or not? What's the strategy? Would that work longer term? So I am procrastinating, but I would suggest that's good procrastination because it stops me doing a task immediately without giving it the thought it needs.
That's deferring. That's actually putting the decision back deliberately. Procrastination is knowing that you need to do something and
not doing
it. I'm going to say unwillingly not doing it, if that's a phrase that's accurate. Whereas what you've just talked about there is actually giving yourself that opportunity to process before acting. Yeah.
But if someone wants a decision that day, they're looking for something. They're looking for me to say yes or no. That's an action.
Yeah, but that's
you could argue I'm procrastinating because I'm not actually giving an answer.
No.
It's interesting you're coming in at a different angle.
I would say that they have expectations that are unrealistic. The fact that they want you to answer, that's on them. You have a process that you go through before you make a decision. I would argue against that being procrastination, and I would say that that is your process, and that you have to follow your process to be able to come to a decision. Now, if you were saying, I need to take a decision, and then actively spent your time thinking about how you're not doing anything to forward or to push yourself towards a decision, and feel guilty about the fact that you should be doing something to at least think about what it is that you want to decide, that would be procrastination. But if you're thinking about what it is, the topic at hand, and you're mulling it over and you're weighing it up and you're actively thinking about it, that to me is not procrastination. If you were playing video games, that would be procrastination.
Do you feel guilty, Alec, when you don't give people that instant response that they're looking for? Do you feel guilty by taking the time?
I did more at the beginning. I don't know.
Right. And in delaying that answer, have you ever caused somebody else to miss a deadline?
Yes, because they needed to know there and then what my answer would be, what my approach would be. But I'm not comfortable, unless I have that time to think about it, to then make that decision. So I do hold back. Now, that's something I learned, and I do much more now.
Right.
But does this come up when somebody asks you a question and you know that your answer is no, but you don't want to tell them straight away?
No, if my gut says no, if I feel it's no, I tell them no.
So you see, that would be procrastination for me. If you're like, somebody, would you like to come for dinner this Friday? And you're like, oh God, no. And instead you say, well, let me just check with my husband and see what we've got on our thing. Mm-hmm. That's procrastinating, because you know full well that you're not going to do it. If your intentions are pure and you are thinking about it and you actively think about it, the person who needed an answer from you straight away, I would argue that that's more on them. You can't be forced to fit into their schedule and their expectations. They should maybe have been a little bit more organized and had more foresight around it.
But for me, some people would argue that procrastination is, you got a task to do, you don't want to do it, and you'll come up with every excuse why not to do it. However, and maybe I should reframe this a bit more clearly, if there is a task that you have to do, either someone gave it to you or it's part of what you have to do on a daily basis, is it not better sometimes where you do delay starting the task or making that decision, because it gives you more time to think about how to approach the task or what the best answer is? And maybe that's how I should have explained that at the beginning.
And now, like, taking the time to reflect and think and plan how you're actually going to execute it is the right thing to do. It's always going to lead to a better outcome. But what procrastination is, I think, is putting off thinking about it. It's knowing that it's on your list of things, but actually not starting it, not giving it any thought, and then finding yourself having to shortcut any thinking process, any planning process, and just actually act right at the last minute in the hope that you'll still meet the deadline. And you may not. You may miss the deadline, in which case you could say all of that effort was lost because the deadline's missed.
I think that procrastination lies, whether or not it's procrastination, lies in the intention of the delay. So if the intention of the delay is to give it thought, that's not procrastination. If the intention of the delay is not to do it,
that's procrastination.
I think that makes perfect sense. Yes, good.
So do we then work better and trying to resolve procrastination by planning our day and giving ourselves times where we will do tasks. And what I bring in here, because I'm very conscious of when my prime time is. Now, prime time for me is when I'm most alert, my brain is working much harder. So I try and do more complex, more difficult tasks up to lunchtime. And then I try and give myself easier tasks to do in the afternoon when my brain is probably not as good as it was in the morning. So if we were to consider trying to, how do we resolve procrastination? Is it all about looking at our whole day and thinking, right, well, I used to do tasks X, Y, and Z in the afternoon, actually, and I'm sitting procrastinating about them. But if I move them to the morning, give myself deadlines. So at 8 o'clock, I'm starting this, 9 o'clock, I'm starting that. That resolves procrastination. There's more chance of you getting it done.
Yes, I think the problem is that in today's organizations is that, and this has come up several times with my clients, is that your schedule, your calendar is not your own.
Yeah.
People put things on. So you can have the best of intentions and then you just don't manage to do it. And that leads to more frustration and that leads to more stress. One of the tools I like to give to people who have difficulty with procrastination is to chunk things down. Very often people procrastinate over tasks which seem too big, all right? And it's like, I've got to do this proposal. It's going to take me 6 hours. I need 6 hours in a row to do this proposal. And the fact of the matter is you don't, because the proposal is built up of different bits. So chunk it down, okay, and figure out for each bit how much time you need, more or less. And you're always going to have bits that are going to take half an hour, 20 minutes, 1 hour. And so when you find yourself with time in your day, rather than going, oh, I need to do a proposal obligation, but I don't have 6 hours in front of me, so there's no point in starting, I'll write an email instead. You can look at it and go, ah, I can actually get that bit done. And the fact that you start doing something out of that big chunk will help you remain motivated to carry it through.
And isn't this the way that we work with clients on big goals? We encourage them to have a big, hairy, audacious goal, but it's so big that it's impossible to do it today. Yeah. And so what you do is you have the goal is set for the end of the year, the middle of next year. Mm-hmm. And we have smaller goals week by week, month by month, things that take us towards that. So I think, you know, back to the example that Alec gave about putting things off to think it through, that thinking time can be really important. And with the example you just gave there, Tiffany, of somebody needing 6 hours, it doesn't have to be six consecutive hours. It can just be 6 hours that follow in a logical sequence, step by step, towards achievement.
But is the next part of that then, because you're right, it's very hard to control your own diary. Are we, by default, many of us guilty of trying to think, right, I'm in the office 8 hours today, so that means I've got 8 hours to work on what I need to do. But actually, in reality, is it only 2 to 3 hours? Because there's emails that come in, there's phone calls, there's meetings you might be getting last minute. And are we overwhelming ourselves? Because I see this with a number of my clients. Overwhelm blurs so much. And if you were to say, look, think of your working day as only 2 to 3 hours of actual productivity. So how do you manage that, your task list, based on that? Mm-hmm. You might, you know, the level of disturbance and interruption might change each day. So you might get a bit more time, for example, on a Friday afternoon. Great, you want to watch. You can get a little bit more done. So is our approach to the day ahead and how much time we've got maybe the underlying cause of this?
Procrastination is about taking control of avoiding procrastination is about taking control. What you just described there was somebody's day, which is spent, for want of a better expression, either wasting time or firefighting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we spoke the last time about the Eisenhower matrix,
yeah,
and how those things which are important but not urgent are actually the real pillars that we ought to have in life: health, relationships, personal development, and so forth. But if we ignore them long enough, if we procrastinate doing anything about them, inevitably they move over to the urgent and important quadrant.
Yeah.
And then we can't avoid it. it's become urgent and important, but that's a kind of a firefighting situation. And if we're going to be leaders, if we're going to be in control, we need to be more measured. So I get what you say. We do have 8 hours working hours in the day. If most of our day is taken up firefighting or frittering time away on unimportant things, then we need to take a long, hard look at how we're spending our time. And just spending 2 or 3 hours on the important but not urgent stuff will lead to a much better balance of everything, and procrastination will diminish.
Boundaries, because this is one of the things. It's like people say, well, you know, I have my schedule. I have the meetings that I'm scheduling, you know, and then people come in and they double and triple book, which is something that I still don't understand how that's expected to work. So then it comes down to, what do I take? Which one do I take? Do I judge it? Which one's the most important? Which one's the most urgent? And it's a question then of setting down some boundaries, and you set down some sort of very simple rules for yourself. You know, for example, first come, first served. First meeting on is the one I'm going to do. The other two, not going to happen. And I'm going to tell people that that's the way, unless it's something that's very obvious. The other thing you can do is on a Saturday, and I do this, on a Saturday, I look at my week ahead. And I think, right, what have I got? Okay, back to back, back to back, back to back. I've got an hour and a half there. I will block that hour and a half and nobody's taking it. And I'll block that hour and a half maybe because I need to go and run an errand, or maybe because I need to just sit and do nothing, or I've got other work that I need to get doing. Mm-hmm. So it's a question, as you said, Nick, taking back control, but it's also a question of setting some boundaries. If you allow people to bulldoze through your schedule regularly, they'll continue doing it because you're allowing them to do it. And people do it because they want to please everybody. You know, they want to be available to everybody because they think that somehow that's going to make it easier for them on the promo cycle next time round. And the thing is, it does lead to overwhelm, as you were saying.
So I think we've got there two things: not allowing others to control our timetable, mm-hmm. and taking control of ourselves and our own management of time. And both of them very key in terms of resolving procrastination, which is our topic for today.
Yeah.
But being realistic, just to add to that, just I would emphasize being realistic on what time you actually have available, regardless if you're doing urgent, important or urgent, Eisenhower matrix. But don't look at a working day as 8 hours of productivity, because that's extremely hard to ever achieve.
Yeah.
When you're sitting down also, when it's like, oh, okay, on Thursday, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do this. Ask yourself a very simple question. Is it realistic to expect that I'm actually going to achieve that?
Great point. And I think to Alex's earlier point about when you are productive and when you're less productive, I think we do need to understand ourselves a bit better. If we know that we're less good, less creative in the afternoons, don't plan to do something that requires a lot of deep thought in the afternoon. Sometimes we're forced to pay attention to it in the afternoon because we put it off until the last minute. And so if we've got time to plan, plan the time sensibly so that you're tapping into, and by allowing a bit of space between things, we give ourselves a bit of wiggle room so that we know that if something takes us a bit longer or we're a bit delayed starting something, we're not going to encroach into the time allocated to the next thing we want to do. Yeah. We can complete before we move on.
Yeah, and that's a really, really important point, because again, going back to the fact that schedules are no longer sort of sacred places, I've had clients who have literally gone through the day without even time to stop to go to the bathroom or to have lunch.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets to the point where that is people pleasing. And it's like, you have to put some boundaries down. You have to start to say, no, this is not working. Because then those pillars that you were talking about earlier, you know, of just looking after yourself, putting your own oxygen mask on before everybody else's, start to get forgotten. And that's where you are not setting yourself up for success, and you're not able to show up in the way that maybe you would like.
But the other thing that's coming to mind then is part of this on this whole thing around procrastination. Is this because there is perfectionism lurking, that we've been given a task to do and we're looking at this task and our first thing is self-doubt? Oh, if I can't do this 100%, if I don't understand this, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then nothing happens. So if we work on that self-doubt, work on, I would suggest, reducing the perfectionism, because I've yet to meet anyone that's perfect, and actually giving yourself time to learn, to sit back and think, right, I know I'm reading this task or looking at this task thinking, well, how am I going to approach this? Give your time, give yourself the headspace and give that positive thinking, because a lot of this is about emotional regulation. Saying to yourself, look, I can do things, but I need to be patient with myself. I need to give myself time to learn about the task I need to do. That therefore drops the perfectionism, grows the self-awareness, and then it starts to reduce the other things we've talked about as well.
And perfectionism also, people who are perfectionists tend to not like to ask for help.
Yes.
So if you are a perfectionist, there's two things to keep in mind. One, done is done, and done is often, you know, better than perfect, because perfect only exists in your mind, and even there is a bit vague. And the other thing is that asking for help is actually strength and not a weakness.
But this is a leader's dilemma, because many leaders I work with, they're frightened to ask for help because they think if they do, people will look down on them.
They'll be perceived as weak.
Yes. And then they're stuck into the trap on some of the things we've talked about when it comes to procrastination. It's a big it's a big issue for many leaders.
In your introduction, Alec, you talked about procrastination is often caused by a lack of clarity around the task at hand. And I think just to what you said there, that by giving ourselves time, and this is, you know, for anybody who finds themselves procrastinating on a list of things or on one thing, by seeking clarity, either from yourself or from others, what you do is you actually can act with greater impact. You can act with less energy to achieve that greater impact. It's when we wonder about things. And I don't mean wonder in a sensible way. I mean wonder in an illogical way, you know, going back to perfectionism.
Yeah. When you start asking yourself, is this good enough? What can I do to make it better? How can I? That's where you end up in that downward spiral, which never ends. So, you know, and there, don't be afraid to ask somebody to read it through and get their feedback on it.
Yeah.
Second opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So to wrap up then, what's our key takeaways?
I think procrastination is something we can learn not to do.
Quite right.
We can learn, but it's going to take tenacity, because it's a habit that we've probably built up over a long time. It's a routine we've got into, and it's best avoided. We can become more productive, but we have to be patient to overcome it.
And when you find yourself feeling guilty and beating yourself up because you're not doing something that you know that you're going to have to do, ask yourself, what's the baby step that you can take towards that?
I quite like the 5-second rule.
Yeah, beginning. It's very important. Don't count 1 to 5 because you'll keep going.
Yeah, 5 down to 1.
2-1, yeah. And
get rid of the hesitation. I think for me, give yourself a time. You know, I think it is about give yourself some set deadlines. The other interesting thing is, and this is about leadership and thinking about how we manage teams. Teams typically get a task done when you give them the deadline. But what many leaders fail to do is give them a deadline, then nothing happens, and then you could argue some of them where, but you know, procrastination is kicking in for some of them. So give yourself a deadline, stick to that. But I think the other thing is give yourself reward.
Always.
If it's a task you have to do you don't like, give yourself a reward at the end.
Yeah, always.
Very good.
Great. Okay. So that's our resolving procrastination. I hope you found some of those tips and our discussion helpful. And until next time. See you later.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Leading. If this episode was useful, follow or subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and share it with someone who'd appreciate it. And if you've got a minute, a quick rating or review really helps more people find the show.